sub-district of Oromocto. We're just going to get our fellow council members that are here to introduce themselves as well before we begin.
I'm Terry Fawn from sub-district 7, and it comprises New Maryland, Maryland School, Bliss Carman, Liverpool, Forest Hill, Montgomery, and George Street.
Kimberly Douglas from sub-district 10, Dope Town, New Tonight is the first public meeting, and it's designed to be a presentation of facts from the district regarding the school. And in particular, you can see it described in section 6.4.4. So tonight it's me talking to you. I'm speaking to you as the public, but I'm also speaking to the District Education Council, who has an important responsibility here in the months ahead. The second public meeting, which is going to be held on Tuesday, December 8th, if memory serves me right, is, again, a second public meeting here in this building where the stakeholders from the community are able to present their thoughts on the sustainability of the school and any other relevant factors about the study. So that's where we might see the PSSC, or community leadership, or business officials from the community take the floor and present to the public and present to the council their ideas on the sustainability of the school. You probably notice that I'm not mentioning staff. In fact, when we talk about the teaching staff, in particular, their union, the New Brunswick Teachers Federation, has suggested that although it's a good idea to follow along and make sure you're up to speed on what's happening, they've been encouraged to not actively engage in a sustainability study. So, Mrs. Watson, the teachers from Burton Elementary School, you might see them here tonight, and you might see them very much engaged in the study, but not actively promoting one way or the other when it comes to their thoughts on the study. And that lets them off the hook a little bit. It could put them into an awkward position, depending on one way or the other. So that's something that their Teachers Federation has asked for. It's something that I'm glad their Teachers Federation has mentioned, and I know it allows them to follow without that added pressure. The third public meeting is the meeting where the District Education Council will make a final decision. So the council will have a look at the study. That, by the way, that happens on January 28th, and that'll happen in Fredericton. And we have four sustainability studies underway. And at that particular meeting, the council will bring the four studies to a conclusion. They'll likely talk about each study a little bit, and my guess is there will be a motion, and they'll vote on that motion about the final result of the study. There are three possible outcomes that could occur. The first outcome would be status quo, which means everything stays the way it is and life continues as usual here for Burton Elementary School. The second possible outcome would be a recommendation to the minister to repair the school. This is where it turns into a recommendation as opposed to a final conclusion, and that's because it's the minister in the province that has to have the final approval when it comes to making financial investment into the school. And thirdly, it could be a recommendation to close the school with the students moving elsewhere for their education. Again, this is a recommendation to the minister, and the minister has the obligation to review the study for procedural fairness and determine whether to approve that recommendation or whether to not approve it and send it back to the council. The minister has no less than 30 days and no more than 60 days to make that decision. So if there is a final vote of repairing the school or closing the school, then you'll know on January 28th, but the final decision would come from the minister likely in the month of March. It's important to note as well that a sustainability study isn't designed as an us against them process. So these public meetings aren't designed to facilitate debate between two parties. As a superintendent, I take my role quite seriously. I have the responsibility to facilitate the process, and I also have the responsibility to ensure that the District Education Council has all of the information that they need to make proper decision. So it's these folks here, the council, that shoulder ensuring that two students aren't listed in two separate schools, to make sure that the numbers are 100% accurate. So we still call it the projected enrollment for September 30th. On September 30th, we had 48 students at Burton Elementary. Again, that can change throughout the year, but the official enrollment for this year, once declared so by the department here, I'm guessing in the weeks ahead, is looking to be 48 for this year. At this time, we'll call it the projected enrollment, even though we're quite sure that it's 48, might even be 49 now, Denise, is that right? One student came after September 30th. In this presentation, you might see me flip back and forth a little bit depending on the statistics that I'm trying to present and the comparisons that I might want to make using official enrollment from last year or unofficial projected enrollment for this year. I like this slide because it shows a cohort of students as it moves from one grade level to the next. So as you know, Burton Elementary houses three grades, K, 1 and 2, kindergarten, grade 1 and grade 2. And you can see here 8 years of data, and it's color-coded as we move students from one grade level to the next as the years go on. For the most part, the trend indicates a slight decrease in students when you look at specific cohorts. There was an exception in 2010 where we saw a big jump with that kindergarten class that started in grade 10. When they were finished in grade 2, they went from 14 to 19. But if you look at those numbers, it's a slight decrease with the exception of 2010. And the last little bit there of grade 1s to grade 2 in 08-09. So that's interesting to look at. To make a projection, as you can imagine, it's probably hard to try and make an accurate projection when you look at the last 8 years and you see going up and down and up and down. So we do our best. And we've seen some high kindergarten years. We've seen some lower enrollment kindergarten years, so I've worked with some staff in our office to try and make a reasonable projection of what we think enrollment will look like over the next few years. We're continually looking for ways to try and tighten that prediction, and if you have any ways, for instance, if you know exactly how many four-year-olds are in the community in the catchment area, then that can be helpful to us. It's worth noting that this week is actually kindergarten registration week, so we'll get a little bit more information here in the weeks ahead. When it comes to projecting the enrollment, though, we generally take the grades and move them forward, and then for kindergarten, we do our best based on data from previous years. So you can see here that our projection is a slight decrease over the next couple of years with the potential of a little increase going from 2017 to 2018. Really, we're talking in the mid-40s for projected enrollment. You may have heard of the term functional capacity before, and functional capacity is a data value that describes quite roughly how full the building might be. And there are a lot of pieces to the definition of functional capacity. And in fact, as we were putting the final touches on this presentation this afternoon, I was still wavering about the best way to present functional capacity. When it comes to functional capacity, there's an official definition for a classroom. And officially, the Department of Education has said there are 5 classrooms at Burton Elementary School. But when you look at Burton Elementary quite closely, we know very clearly that there are 3 classrooms that are being used as home rooms. And yes, there are 2 other classrooms. One is being used as an office / staff room / work area, and the other is being used as a library. classrooms in use. The school capacity would be 84. That comes from the number of classrooms, which is 4, multiplied by the maximum class size of students in that can be in that classroom for the grade level, which is 21, and then dividing that into the enrollment. So 59 divided by 84 gives us a functional capacity of 70.2%. When they talk about functional capacity, it's understood that a functional capacity between 80 to 100% would be considered a full school, not a lot of elbow room. If you look at the capacity being between 60 and 80%, you would say that's an optimum capacity. There's a little bit of elbow room in the school, but the rooms are very much in use. If you look at functional capacity less than 60%, then they would say that there is space available within the school. And in fact, if the functional capacity is less than 30%, then that's one of the potential triggers for a sustainability study. I can tell you that the other trigger, defined in policy 409, is when the enrollment is less than 100 students. And in fact, that's the reason for Burton's trigger, because the enrollment falls below 100 students. So I wanted to spend some time talking about the functional capacity. In fact, you may even see on another document that we post, it's the official infrastructure document, you may see the number of classrooms defined as 5, and the functional capacity to be a little bit smaller. I think it was in the 50% range, high 50s. We decided for the presentation here to make that adjustment for a more reasonable look at how those classrooms are being used. So the first of 8 categories that we see in policy 409 was enrollment, and I've just finished that part now. The second one we can look at is the quality of education programs and services. I can start by telling you a little bit about the educational staff that we have in place at Burton Elementary, and we're looking at the staff for this year. FTE stands for full-time equivalent, and it's the word that we use to describe the number of teachers within the school. You can see here that there are 4 teachers assigned to the school. They're subdivided, though, and those subdivisions come from a series of formulas that are used. The Department of Education and Early Childhood Development assigns FTE to the district based on formulas, and then we, in turn, assign FTE to our 70 schools, roughly based on formulas, but then we look at each and every school and we try and tweak it a little bit to match the specific needs of that school. At the elementary level, the formula says you should have 1.1 teachers for every homeroom. So that's why you see 3.3. There are 3 homerooms. 3 times 1.1 gives 3.3. For administration, there's supposed to be 1 FTE for every 275 students. So in this case, administration, it turns out to be 0.2. But we know that a principal is a principal is a principal, whether she has to manage and be the educational leader of a small school or a big school, there are some core responsibilities. So we always try and top up the administration just a little bit. So you can see here it's 0.4. That means your principal, Denise, has 0.4 of her time assigned to being the principal of the school, where the remaining 0.6 falls to specialties or to, in this case, I believe it's resource, isn't it, Denise? And works in the area of teaching with her 3 teacher colleagues. The formula for guidance, by the way, is 1 FTE for Lincoln Elementary, last year looking at 171 students, and the ratio is 12.7:1. When we look at the actual class sizes, so again, I'm going back to last year's data, although I updated for Burton Elementary and the others in the last column. Last year, the smallest class size was 18, and the biggest class size was 21, and there's a star there, and I'll tell you about that star in a minute, with the average class size of 20. So remember, last year, it was that peak enrollment over the last 8 years, that enrollment of 59. And in fact, the maximum class size allowable in a kindergarten grade 1 or grade 2 class is 21. At the beginning of the year, there were actually 22 students in kindergarten. Do I have that right? Yes, 22 students in kindergarten at the beginning of the year and on September 30th. So it was what's considered an illegal class size. And we had an obligation to provide an extra teacher. And in this particular case, two teachers worked together in a team teaching scenario within that classroom of 22 students. As the year went on, there were a couple of students that moved away, and it lowered the maximum class size to below 21. And at the appropriate time, one teacher took over the classroom setting, and the other teacher was reassigned first to support literacy needs within Burton Elementary and then to support some literacy needs throughout our district. So I say the number of classes for last year was 3, knowing that for part of the year there was a team situation, so we could have really said 4 classes. This year, by the way, we have the smallest class size at 11, the biggest class size at 19, and the average class size is 16. So I showed some comparisons as well with those 3 other schools I mentioned earlier. Millville Elementary School last year had a minimum of 13, a maximum of 14. The average happened to be 13 with 3 classrooms in place. Lincoln Elementary, a minimum of 13 and the maximum of 21. So it had a class that was right at the maximum class size. The average class size was 17, but there were 10 classes. And at Chipman Elementary, the smallest class had 14 students. The biggest class had 21 with the average of 17. There were 6 classes at Chipman Elementary last year. You can see that Burton, Millville, and Lincoln has the same number of classes as they finished last year. Chipman Elementary actually went up by 1. You know, because of those maximum class sizes, sometimes you can see the number of home rooms go up, but the actual enrollment go down. So it all just depends on how the students are configured. I talked about maximum class sizes. There's a collective agreement that's followed by the province and by the Teachers Federation that outlines the maximum number of students that can be found in any particular classroom at any certain grade level. So you can see I've listed them there. At those early grade levels of K1 and 2, there are 21 students. Grade 3, it's 26. In grades 4, 5, and 6, it's 28. And then from grade 7 right through to 12, it's 29. From time to time, we have combined classes. In fact, we have over 100 combined classes across Anglophone West. And those maximum class sizes are a little bit smaller. They're listed there. When it comes to the core curriculum, this is a consistent slide that I've put in, and it's not as applicable to Burton Elementary because it's a K-2 setting. So when it comes to early French immersion or late French immersion, it's not applicable because French immersion doesn't start until grade 3. We don't classify the gym at Burton Elementary as an official gymnasium. Its official term is a multi-purpose room. Music, fine arts specialists, we say there are specialists that are in place, although the curriculum is still accounted for and covered by the classroom teacher or by Denise. there's also access to support teachers in literacy, math, and technology. And we also have support teachers in science, so those are called leads or mentors that work out of a district office and come down to support teachers as requested or as necessary. Then some of these other categories aren't necessarily applicable. There isn't a science lab or a computer lab at Burton Elementary, and the remainder of the categories are for middle levels and high schools. The grade 2 students from Burton Elementary School, when they finish, they move into Armocto and attend school at Hubbard Avenue Elementary School, and they can be in either prime or French immersion beginning in grade 3. When you conduct this study, you have to talk a little bit about the what ifs. So what if the DEC votes status quo? Well, if the DEC votes status quo, then it's status quo when things move on as they are now. If the DEC votes to close the school and move the students elsewhere, we really have to put on the table, what would that look like? So the next slide, I mentioned that. And I say, beyond a decision of status quo or a recommendation to fix and upgrade the school as it stands now, the following scenario rises to the surface as a possible consideration. So if the DEC were to vote to close Burton Elementary School, and I say that as a recommendation to go to the minister, and the minister were to approve it, then the reasonable scenario that rises to the surface is that the students from Burton would attend school at Assiniboine Avenue Elementary. So I write that down as a what if. Excuse me. Now, in Burton's case, I've added an extra paragraph here as well. And I say that because your parent leadership has actually presented to the District Education Council in the past and has advocated for an addition or even a brand new school to be considered by council as they work at prioritizing their major capital construction ideas. So I note that here as well. It's noted that parent leadership from Burton Elementary School has expressed its desire for the DEC to consider placing Burton Elementary on the priority list for major capital construction project that could include a new addition or the building of a new school in the community of Burton. To put a number to that, I use a couple of recent new constructions. The cost of two recent new constructions for small-sized elementary schools ranged in the area of $8.6 million to $9.6 million. So I put that out there just to provide a reference point. Gary Elementary was a school that cost $8.6 million. Lincoln Elementary was a school that cost $9.6 million. And I put those there as a reference point when it comes to making decisions about building a new school. So, for our scenario of K-2 at the Assiniboine Elementary School, if that were to occur, then we'd be looking at an enrollment next year of 284 students. That's a projected enrollment. Once again, moving the grades forward and trying to get our best guess at what the kindergarten class numbers would look like. We would project there to be 15 homerooms, and the projected functional capacity at Assiniboine would be 75%. We would project the FTE, or the number of teachers, at Assiniboine Elementary to be 19.7. I know many of you would agree that Burton Elementary is a special school and a lot of special events that encourage community school partnerships. Some examples include apple picking, the Remembrance Day ceremony, bottle collection trailer at the local Ultramar, and activity clusters held 3 times per So once again, if you want to look at the school-based report, that'll talk a little bit more about student voice. Thank you, Mark. When it comes to provincial assessment results, there are a series of provincial assessments in our province. Actually, the provincial assessment schedule is changing as we go through the next few years, but one of the consistencies is grade 2 reading. And you can see here the results at Burton Elementary over the last 5 years. We can see that Burton Elementary was in the mid to low 70s 4 and 5 years ago. Took a little dip into the 60s over the next 2 years, but then climbed to 91.7% success rate in 2013-14. 14-15, by the way, isn't listed yet because the Minister of Education actually releases the results at some point in the fall for last year's assessment. All provincial assessment results are available publicly online at the Department of Education website. So if you wanted to check out the provincial assessment results for any school in our province, you could do that. This chart also shows a comparison to the district results and the provincial results. By the way, I'm doing a lot of talking and showing the screen, and you might get a good view of the screen, or maybe it's a little blurry to you. I want to let you know that this presentation is accessible to you. When we get back to the office tomorrow morning, we'll be posting it to the website. There are some school benefits at Burton Elementary for sure. There's a strong knowledge of individual students, as well as their strengths and their needs. All the students are active participants in school-wide initiatives. There is little transition of students in and out of the school during the school year. So that allows staff the opportunity to interact well with all their students on a regular basis. It supports the development of pro-social behaviors throughout the whole school community. There is a culture of collaboration that's established among the staff, and the staff, parents, and students have developed a strong community culture within the school. There are some challenges as well. We have staff in positions of responsibility that are required to teach. So I speak specifically now of your principal. Are required to teach specialty subjects or other subjects as organized by the teachers. And need to spend a large percentage of the time dedicated to teaching. Teacher teaming opportunities are sometimes challenging due to teacher schedules. This is in large part due to a small number of teaching staff. You might recall that the funding for teacher staff is linked to enrollment. So that's two of the 8 categories now that we've looked at. We've looked at enrollment and we've looked at educational programming and services. Now it's time to talk a little bit about Burton Elementary as a building. So we have a wood-framed school. It electrical service is 400-amp, 240-volt panel. The classrooms and hallways are vinyl tile. The gym floor is linoleum. Washrooms have upgraded urinals, sinks, and toilets. Floors are ceramic tile in the washrooms. I can tell you the washrooms are in good condition. Stairways are enclosed to meet fire separation requirements, complete with fire-rated doors. The school has a fire alarm system, and fire extinguishers are located throughout the school. The exterior windows and the doors have been replaced in previous renovations. They're in good condition. The exterior siding, however, is in poor condition, and it's to be considered for replacement. Parking we'd call adequate. The pavement has been patched. The exterior lighting for the property is high-intensity discharge. The staff and visitors share the school parking lot. The bus zone is located at the front of the school, and the playground has a baseball soccer field, swings, and play structures. Had a peek at the playground tonight, and it's a very nice playground. When we look at capital improvement projects or capital investments over the last 5 years, you can see really it's three main projects here: the interior walls, the heating system, and the sewage system, and the associated costs. I use the term capital improvement projects. On an annual basis, the District Education Council has a responsibility to submit a list to the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, a list of priorities over over all 70 schools on what should be considered for capital improvement work within our buildings. So this is improvements to our buildings from budgets outside our regular global budgets, so a capital improvement budget. And there's a process, and in May of every year, our District Education Council submits a priority list of these capital improvement projects. As a staff, our facilities team keeps a database with all of these projects. We probably have 500 projects for 70 schools in our district. And in preparation for that May meeting, our facilities team works really hard to examine the projects that are in that hopper and try and prioritize them as really important, semi-important, or projects that we don't need to really treat as a priority at this particular time. When we look at the projects that are in the hopper from Burton Elementary School, you can see here that siding for the building is one, replacement of the siding, a need for an elevator for accessibility, ventilation system improvements, need to upgrade the old ceiling and lighting, system upgrade for our electrical, power distribution panels and receptacles upgrade, paving, looking at the curbing and the driveway refinishing. Those projects total $573,000. You'll probably ask, how come you're not giving us the estimated cost for each project? And that happens because if these projects are to be approved at any time, then the province has a formal tendering process that that involves bidding from companies to try and gain the contract for the work. So in recent years, the practice has been to not share the estimated costs because it could influence that that bidding process. When we look at the estimated costs as an organization, it's not just numbers that are pulled from a hat. There's formulas that our facilities team works with the help of the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, DTI we call them, and DTI has historical prices and certain formulas to help make the best estimate possible when it comes to trying to ballpark Burton Elementary School. Actually, it's from the Burton Elementary School to their homes. I go back to the what if, there wouldn't be any impact with regard to the number of school buses or the drivers if the Burton Elementary School should close. There would, however, be a reduction in kilometers traveled by the school buses. And that comes with students that are currently being bused to Oromocto already. When we look at the longest ride in, it's 55 minutes, and the longest ride out is 55 minutes. The earliest pickup is 7:40 in the morning, and the latest drop-off is 3:10 in the afternoon, with the average ride time being 29 minutes. The distance to Burton Elementary School. The average distance for a student to the school is 2.1 kilometers, with the maximum distance 5.7 kilometers, and the minimum distance 0.2 kilometers. So I can already tell some wheels are turning. David, the maximum distance is 5.7 kilometers, but the maximum time on the bus is 55 minutes. What is going on? Well, I'm going to flip ahead to this catchment area, and you remember that we have one bus that serves the students in K-2 going to Burton Elementary. And this is the catchment area. So the bus will start and pick a student up, and that first student is on the bus for the whole time of picking up all of the other students. So that's the rationale behind the distance and the time on the bus. So that's actually a snapshot of the catchment area. On one side, it's Goins on Tee, for those of you who are, I guess that's from my generation of remembering Burton. Others go further back to a convenience store that was there years ago. And then you can see here the other end of the catchment zone making its way towards Swan Creek. So I'll just go back because I've listed the distances to Burton Elementary School. Then I talk about the what if. What if we were to look at Assiniboine Avenue Elementary School? So the average distance would be 11.3 kilometers, and the average travel time would be 25 minutes. The maximum distance would be 16.9 kilometers, and the maximum travel time would be 40 minutes. The minimum distance would be 6.6 kilometers with the minimum travel time 10 minutes. So that's transportation. We'll move on to our fifth category right now, and that's money or budgets. And there are three subdivisions here when we talk about budgets. The first is salary. So when we look at salary, you can see here salary for administration, for teachers, for the administrative assistant, and for the educational assistants. And it shows a three-year history. And in case you're thinking that Denise only makes $12,000 a year, I can tell you that when it comes to salary for a principal, she makes a teacher's salary plus what we call a responsibility allowance. So as a principal, you get that allowance on top of your teacher's salary, and that's based on your years of experience plus the size of your school. So you can see here the salary costs at Burton Elementary are $424,889, which is up from the past couple of years at $357,133 and $323,665. I should note, however, that these are fiscal years. Okay, so the fiscal year runs from April 1st to March 31st. A second budget category would be assigned budgets. So these are global budgets that are assigned to the school, and the school principal manages the budget. You can see here that the school principal has a responsibility to manage about when it comes to assigning budgets, we do so, again, enrollment is a key factor. We've also worked very hard at trying to ensure that any decline in budget due to enrollment would never be more than 2.5%. And that's particularly important for small schools, because if you see a huge, one school we saw go from 40 to 30, a 25% decrease in enrollment, if you were to correspond that with a 25% decrease in budget, it could be devastating for a school. So we work really hard at trying to manage school-based budgets that are assigned. And another nice thing that I'm quite proud of, really, is a revenue sharing budget that we allocate to schools, and that's a self-sustaining dollars budget that can carry over from year to year to year, and it's based on the revenue that's generated by the district for things such as tuition for international students, cafeteria sales, and rentals of facilities. When you have a chance to look through, you might examine these numbers a little bit more closely. And finally, facilities costs. In some of our other presentations, the cleaning costs were more as salaries. In that first slide here, where it's a contracted cleaning, we have a contract for the cleaning, so that's why it's listed here. That contract is $16,679. And then we have our other costs for the facility, such as electricity, garbage removal, ground maintenance, heating fuel, cleaning supplies, and minor repairs. If you're to take those three categories and add them together, we're looking at $476,077 for the 2014-15 fiscal year, which is up from the two previous years. So that's a look at the financial piece. Economic development. When it comes to creating these presentations, a lot of times there are people in the community that can help us more than staff ourselves. And this is one of those areas with economic development. So I'd like to give credit and thanks to the Burton Elementary PSSC, who helped with the next few slides. They did a little bit of research and provided us with these slides. The population of Burton at 4,042, which is estimated based on the 2011 Statistics Canada data and on the 2010 estimates of Burton and Gary populations from a joint report by the Greater Gary Association and the Burton Interest Citizens Group. So for those of you who might not be familiar, Burton and Gary are considered as one community, and I hope I get the language right, I believe a local service district. And if I understand correctly, the population of 4042 is that local service district of Burton and Gary. You can see that there was an incline in population from the 2005 to 2010-2011. We see an increase in population. And the trend line is projecting a population growth. Number of employers and businesses and services here within the Burton community. Of course, Burton Elementary School itself with the number of employees. If there was the finalization of a school closure, there'd be a slight loss in employment opportunities within the school system, within the community of Burton. It's important to note that tenured district employees would be placed elsewhere within our district. The future of a vacant building, that would be unknown. That could have some positives or some negatives impact on the community, depending on whose hands it turned into. I can tell you that when a school is no longer required by a school district, the Education Council declares it as surplus and turns it back to the province of New Brunswick. This is one of those categories, the impact on the community, where I can give a little bit of information, but I expect in the second public meeting, we'll hear a lot more about the impact on the community from stakeholder groups that will take the floor in early December. I've been counting, and if you were following me, I'd count, you'd probably say, that's seven, David, where's the eighth? And I guess I missed the eighth. That was impact on other schools, and that was conversation about Assiniboine Elementary School. So those are our eight categories that we talk about under the framework of Policy 409. I want to talk a little bit about our website, because one of the most important parts of a sustainability study is engagement from the public, and there are a number of ways that can happen. Public meeting number two is probably one of the most important, because as I've mentioned a couple of times tonight, it's an opportunity for stakeholders to present, to share their thoughts on the sustainability of the school. But there's also an opportunity to share your thoughts in writing to the District Education Council, whether you write to them through the mail, you write to them through an email with the email listed here on your agenda, or whether you write to them through an electronic discussion board that's available on our website. Also on our website, and I think it's important to point out, it's there on your agenda, it's at our main website, www.asd-w.nded.mb.ca. You won't remember me saying that, but it's there. And then there are three clicks that takes you to the Burton Sustainability site. And on that site, not only do you see this discussion board, but you'll also see a posting of all of our documents, all of the public documents that are available for you to spend time with and to read. So for instance, this presentation will be posted and available to you. Steve, do you think there might be enough wireless for me to show them the website, or what do you?
Burton Lions Club would have their own wireless system, and it's password protected.
Okay, so I can't get on the wireless. So I really encourage you to check that out. If you have a hard time navigating the website, I'm sure Denise would help you out, or if not, let us, if you can't catch up with Denise, touch base with us, and we'll help you find your way. Carol Clark-Catterini is my assistant and secretary to the DEC. She manages the email. It goes straight to her, and she makes sure that it's channeled to the right person. She helps with keeping that website accurate and up to date. Over the next week or so, we're going to populate that website with a number of different reports that are already finished. And I'm going to continue to work on reports as requested by the DEC, and that I think will be helpful, again, in providing information. When it comes to posting comments, you're okay to just post a comment. If you post a comment, then I might not reply. You're also okay to ask a question. If it's a question that you're asking, maybe someone else is thinking the same, and I'll do my best to answer that question. I check in a couple of times a week to see if there are any outstanding questions. So that's the end of the formal part of the presentation. If you have questions, I would ask that you just give us your name and that you speak loud so that we can catch you in the recording of this meeting.
Yes, sir. Question, kind of a two-part question. We did this Bandeau report 4 years ago. Is there going to be a copy of that on the website, by any chance?
That's a good question. I know I have a binder great question, and I'll answer that question on the discussion board.
And when we were put up for this policy, I know the letter was sent to the minister, and it was concluded that Burton wasn't on this 409. But then the committee here voted again. Could you explain that procedure and what happened there to us?
Sure. At the May 2015 public this isn't everything, but this is certainly an introduction. I would say more than an introduction. It gives a good framework with respect to the facts about the school. Is there more out there? Absolutely, there is more out there.
It seems very, almost a little bit biased. I mean, you went a lot in detail over financial, like things to almost support the closing of our school,
yeah.
But nothing to support the opening of our school.
Yeah.
Like you talked very briefly on
some cases, we look to see if there are other ways, because it's expensive to add a teacher, I can tell you that.
And our kids' education.
I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you it's expensive to add a teacher. But I can also tell you that when we look at the scenarios, we look to see if there are other options. Sometimes people are willing to have their students go to another school. Other times they say that this is their catchment area school, and this is where my student belongs. And if that's the case, then we have an obligation to do that.
David, is there not a formula that the department gives you and the district to count classrooms?
The maximum class size.
Functional capacity.
Yes, there is.
I have a question right here.
I'd like to know the number of students that live in Burton but actually go to Assiniboine or Summerhill or one of the other schools in Armonk because our catchment area only covers half of
built by Department of National Defense and then in 57 and turned over to the province in 67. It's been well maintained and will serve the district well for the long term. There was a girls' washroom upgrade in 2012, a boys' washroom upgrade, including ventilation and fire separations in September 2013. Some replacement of classroom doors, the gym roof replaced in 2006, has a gymnasium, doesn't have a cafeteria. Philip, are you aware of any water problems at Assiniboine at this time?
Not at this time, any water issues there.
No.
Question right here from someone. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, good. So I think Marty had, and then we'll go to you.
I have just two more points. The one that people are talking about, you need to see facts and figures, and you use them to some point. But if you're moving, if you move to school, I went through this already, so, and the repairs are done. But if you move to school, you don't save any money on teacher costs. You may save half of administrator's position because that moves to the school. So that factor should be up there somewhere as far as when you move. That figure should be there where the cost savings when you move. The other point that I have in your system, and I agree with you went back to 2010 or 11 with 9 your numbers. There's three classes, K to 2, three classes. That puts your functional capacity a little higher because there's four classes. That fourth one's never used, it's always been three. That puts your functional capacity up higher. So I think that it's a numbers thing. That's the same as the 1, 2, and 3. Some of the things are on there, were on there in our last study. And they probably will never be repaired because you've got too much work to do to repair all the different things and they're smaller than the numbers. So a little bit more. Honesty aspect.
You can't say honesty, Marty. It's not fair. But to in reference to your first point, I'll be building a what I call a what if document, and it's a document that really dives in deeper to the what ifs. So costs in some savings in with respect to staff. Some. Transportation, what is? What does that look like? So I dive deeper into that in the weeks ahead as I build that report. And the functional capacity, I can tell you as recent as this afternoon, we struggled with the number of classrooms to use because of those definitions. So the Department of Education said 5 classrooms, which showed a functional capacity of 50-something percent. When we looked at it closely, we felt that really you could only count on 4 classrooms because really it'd be hard to take, you could probably restructure that office area to be a classroom if needed, and it was pointed out tonight. Really, you probably wouldn't take away a library or a resource area such as that. So that's why I went with 4 classrooms, which increased the functional capacity to 72% or whatever it was, 70%. And to go with 3 classrooms, of course the functional capacity would be much higher. It'd be up in the 80s and it would be up in the 80s and 90s or whatever. It would be 3 times 21, which is 63. 59 divided by 63, it would be very, very high. But some would argue that classroom is available if need be.
Yeah, if need be. Over the years,
the number of teachers is always going to be dependent upon enrollment.
No, and I mean, the thing is, if you had a teacher there, I don't know how many months she was there, if you're looking at it being $70,000 or $80,000, a teacher was there for 6 months, and that's about $40,000, you know, it should be reflected somehow.
We can certainly look at where we're at now and where we are going forward. Another question?
Also, in those numbers, the year before, the school didn't have a guidance counselor, and last year they did, and then this year it's been cut from the school again.
Yeah, so the guidance FTE is assigned at a ratio of 1 to 502 students, and
you still mentioned numbers and what the cost was for the salaries for.
Yeah, last year was it 4.2 or was it 4 last year, Denise? Do you remember? No.
But those are questions we can get answers to. So, did you just want to go over what meeting 2 looked like in the handouts and how to present?
No, I didn't. We have a registration form that's available. We've printed a number of copies here at the front, and it's available to individuals who would like to present. We ask for you to provide some basic information about the presentation that you'd like to give. We ask for you to give it to us 1 week in advance so that we can map out an agenda. We like to give everybody the time that they need, but if there's an overwhelming amount of presentations, then we may have to prepare an agenda that gives an appropriate amount of agenda time. Those, where did you say they are, Carol? They're right here, somewhere in this pile. Make sure that you have, oh yes, right here. No, we just need to know 1 week in advance that you would like to, you have to give us this paper by December 1st. And we would ask if you prepare a presentation that you provide it to us on that night so that we can upload it to the website as well. And we will include it in the final report that we submit.
Do you mind reviewing for the audience too? Studies, you'll be able to show them on the computer.
Yes.
They click. Now I know what this means because I've seen you doing it.
Yes.
So could you review how number 2 works if you had a computer there?
Yes. The only problem is, Ron, I don't have access to the internet here.
No, but I mean, I read this and I know what this means, but somebody here may not. Like number 2, you have to go on to the blue card first.
Sure, that's right. So you go to our website.
Yeah.
You go to our website, which is www.asd-w.nded.nb.ca, and then when you get to that, you scroll down a little bit and you'll see a place where you can click on the sustainability studies for Burton, McAdam, Millville, and Neckwick. So that's your first click, and then after you do that, it'll give you a little bit of general information. It'll give you an opportunity to click on the policy itself, or it'll say sustainability, and you click on sustainability. And it brings you into the option of the 4 studies that are underway. So the final click is to click on Burton, and you're right in. So it's our main website with 3 clicks.
Good. Thank you.
Yes?
On the transportation issue again, what
said.
Just for